The word says that he hears us and that he answers us. Sometimes he says no, but he still answers us. You know, all the time we always seem to, if we don't get the answer we want, we say God didn't answer me, don't we? If your mum and dad don't give you what you want, you grumble and complain about them, don't you? And they're not being fair to you. Sometimes they are being fair to you. Yeah? Praise God. You can't have everything at once. Sometimes you're not ready for it. You know, you can consider Daniel. He's been wanting to drive a car now for quite some time. He's been itching. He's had had keys in his hands. He's moving it, and you know, but he didn't have a driving license, did he? He wasn't insured, neither. And his dad kept saying no. And Daniel gets upset. But still he answers no. Why? There is a good reason for it. And sometimes God says no to you and to me because there is a good reason for it. And we don't always know the reason because we're that frustrated and we don't listen to the reason. We want our own way, don't we? Anybody here ever wanted their own way? Oh, looks like everybody. Wow. Oh well, I'm talking to the right sort of people then today. We've all wanted our own way, haven't we, at some stage? Have you always got your own way? Who's always got their own way? Hands up. Oh right. Oh, there you go. I thought there'd have been at least been a lady who would have got her own way, you know, all the time. No. Praise God. Just shows you. Hallelujah. But God is good to us. Whether he says yes or whether he says no, he's still good. The word of God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. But your situation changes and you change. Have you noticed that? Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you're feeling great. And the world's wonderful. Yeah? You've had a good night's sleep, you've slept well, nothing's bothered you in the night, and you've woken up and the world's wonderful today. Isn't that right? It is right. And then there are those mornings when you wake up and you don't feel too good. And there are grey skies outside. And you draw back the curtains and the grey skies don't help you feel too good. And you decide that you aren't very good today and you want to go back to bed. But it's not about what you feel. It's about what is happening. Somebody said to me yesterday, I was out on my motorbike and somebody said to me when we were sat down having a coffee, God, I wish the sun was shining. I said, it is. It is shining. The sun always shines. The problem happens to be there are just a few clouds in the way and stopping it from getting through. But the sun always shines. It never stops shining. You might not be able to see it, but it is still shining. And we can give thanks. And there are things that are going on sometimes being prepared for our lives that we know nothing about. But we live in an instant day and generation, don't we? Instant coffee, instant custard, instant meals. You just shove them in a microwave and press the buttons and 30 seconds later you have a meal. It's junk like most of it, but you got a meal. Plenty of ease in it. Keep you hyper and happy. Oh, well, maybe not so happy at times. Maybe make you miserable. And so when it comes to the things of God, sometimes we want them now. Now would be a good time. When your back's against the wall. When you're finding it tough. And I always often harp on to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. But can you imagine? These three guys, they are tied up and they are about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And I think if I'd have been there and I'd have been one of those guys, I would have been saying, God, now is a good time to turn up. Now would be a good time to turn up and destroy this army, destroy these men that have got us bound up, or knock them down. Now would be a good time, because I really don't want to burn. I do not want to volunteer for a fiery furnace, so God, now would be a good time. God did not turn up until they went in to the fire. And the God that was in them came out of them and was made manifest. If you want to see God being made manifest in your life, if you want to see the power of God being manifest around you and for you, in your for your lifestyle and for what is happening, you need first of all to have Him in your life. If you don't have Him in you, He's not going to turn up when you need Him. Some people pray and want God to do this and want God to do that and to get them out of all these situations, but they do not want to do anything about it. They don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to change the way they think. They don't want to change their habits. And their lifestyle and the way they think and their habits have got them into the situation they're in now. God is not a magician. Many people like to think He is. Well, you say, well, He created the world, He created the universe, He created all things in it. Yeah. But everything had to be in order. God has a divine order, and everything has to be in order. And when everything's in order, then the door opens, the power of God is released, and miracles, healings, deliverance, and whatever you need is met. I can give a very simple explanation. We have a cupboard in the back. Well, we have two cupboards in the back. Basically identical, these two cupboards. They have combination locks on them. The first one we bought, we gave it a number. The second one we bought, we gave it a different number. But all you have to do is to get the right combination. You do the right number of turns, the right number to the right number to the left, and so on and so on and so on. And then, at the end of all of that, everything has fallen into line, every tumbler has tumbled into place, and you, with a final twist, you feel the pressure come on. Isn't that right? Should do. You feel the pressure come on. And as you do that, you know the door is opening. When you don't feel the pressure come on, you know full well it's not going to open. And we have one cupboard like that, that you can try it 5 or 6 times and this thing will not open. Now Graham's not here, Graham's in America. Now Graham opens this every time, and Graham will tell you, now whether this is true or not, I would like to be a fly on the wall and find out, that every time he gets to it, and you'll see him do it, you've been trying for 20 minutes, you cannot get in this cupboard. You are now stressed. You are about to volunteer to go and get a stick of dynamite and blow this thing open. And Graham walks in, waddles up to the door, and smiles at you, and you feel like slapping him. It's true, you know, your stress level has been up here for now 20 minutes, and Graham walks up and just says, it's easy, look. And you go, I don't believe he did that. It's true, isn't it? Times he does it. Get the other cupboard, you just go up to it, put the numbers in, opens like that. People are like that. Two same cupboards, two same locks, two different numbers, but two different cupboards. They're different. Somehow, I don't know why. Maybe one's worn. Maybe you're worn. I don't know what it is, but you see, there are times when everything has to be in line, and God wants to work on you and me till He gets us in line. Then the door opens, the blessings of God, and you have access to the things of God. Who wants access to the things of God? Are you sure about that? Your arms were slow at going up. I'm going to try that one again. If you really... Now, this is not what I'm going to preach. My notes are here. Looks like they're staying there as well for today. That's two in a row. It's not fair. Glory to Jesus. I'm going to ask you again. Who wants the things of God open to them? And I want arms up. You know. Good. I see some positive results now. That's better. You see, I need to know where you are. I need to know what you want. And do you know something else? God needs to know what you want. And the other thing that God needs to know is that you know what you want. Do you know what you want? Now, most of the time you'll ask a young person, what do you want? I don't know. Well, what would you like to do? And I've been there. I don't know. What would you like to be? I don't know. I'm watching you. Heckler's in the meeting today. God wants you to have an idea where you're going. God wants you... You see, the Word of God said God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Has anybody got any... Now, I better be careful about this, you see, because has anybody got any godly desires? Good desires? Yeah, yeah. You got some good desires? But do you know something? God wants to give them to you. But you have to have a real desire. Not just a whim, a way, a want, you know, just a, well, I won't mind, but if he doesn't give it to me, it won't really matter. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not, God's not going to ask you, not going to give to you if you're in a situation where it's, well, if he does, it don't matter. If he don't, it don't matter. That's all right. I'm sorry, that's not a desire. A desire is a passion that burns within you. That constantly is on you, in your spirit. It's beating within your very spirit. It's something that every time you manage to pause for thought, every time you manage to shut out the world around you, it pops up in your mind. You have to start to do something about it. The first thing you have to do is yes, you have to start praying over it. Because it's like a little seedling. Now, if you've grown seedlings, you usually keep them in a warm place. You shelter them from the frost. You shelter them from the harshness of the weather. And you grow these seedlings up until they are strong. And God wants you to nurture that passion, that desire, that vision that you have. He's given it to you. But your responsibility is to begin to look after it, to feed it, to nurture it, to care for it. And as you do that, then that will begin to grow. And it will stop being a seedling. And it will begin to grow up and it will become a big plant. And it will be that vision will come to pass, and that vision will begin to bring fruit, will bring a harvest, will bring good things. You and I have to begin to reach out. One of the things you have to do is put God first. That's always a problem. There are so many things I want to do. That's true, I know. Young people say that. Teenagers. They've got so many things they want to do. Haven't you? Who's got things you want to do? You're not a teenager. I didn't know I was married to a teenager. Oh. She's taking that scripture to its full extent. He redeems you at my youth like the eagle. But you've got a passion, you've got a desire, you've got things you're aiming for. But in it, you've got to put God first. And when you say that, people begin to think, oh, well, that means I've got to sacrifice things. Well, maybe. Maybe you have. But the word says that unless the seed goes into the ground and dies, it cannot bring forth fruit. Can it? But you might say, let's take something other than just a seed. Let's take something like seed potatoes. Those are the small ones that really there's not a lot of meal in them. But they are seed potatoes. They are the crop for next year. Now you might say, well, you know, if you were a farmer and in those days when farming life was tougher and food was not available in Sainsbury's and Tesco's and Morrison's, nobody had thought of them places at that time. It was still, what was in my barn is what I've got to eat for the rest of the year. And suddenly you discover you get to that point where there's not a lot left and there's still a month or two to go. But there are some seed potatoes out there. We could make a meal out of those, couldn't we? You eat those potatoes, you eat those seed potatoes, your next year's crop is gone. And there are sacrifices to be made. There is a price to pay for a harvest next year. And I'm not saying your harvest is not coming till next year. What I am saying is, there is a price to pay if you want a harvest, whether it be in the next few days, whether it be now, or whether it be in a year or two's time. There is always a price to pay for a harvest. Many years ago, I gave up a well-paid job in engineering. A manager, company car and everything else that went with it, and it was well paid. When I gave it up, somebody in the ministry said to me, you do realise that's all your holidays abroad gone now, you know. And I thought at first they were right, because I was going to do what God told me to do. Well, Grace and I have travelled more since that time than we would have travelled if I was still in engineering. God opens doors and nobody can close them. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. But you see, to go through a door that God is opening, you have to stand with God. You have to be by the side of God. You have to be in His presence. Because when He opens the door, you need to be there by His side when the door opens. Otherwise, He can open a door and you can be stood somewhere else. Not looking at what God is doing. And then you say, God never opens a door for me. He did. But you were in the wrong place again. See, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You see, in Israel, the sheep follow the shepherd. He doesn't drive them, he goes before them. The trouble is today, everybody wants driving. They all want to be chauffeured, except Daniel. He wants a chauffeur. But everybody wants to be taken everywhere. But God is speaking, and God is calling your name. I'll say that again, you might get excited. I'll give you a minute to just pause for thought, you know, take your breath. And I said, God is calling your name. Start hearing God call your name. See, if you don't believe he's calling your name to give you something, then guess what? You're never going to hear your name called, because you're not listening for your name. You've seen it, haven't you? Young people today, children, in school, with others, in the office, you call the name. Daniel, the mouths are running 90 to nothing. You said, Daniel, still running 90 to nothing. Not, you know, I mean, you're literally in the same room, and the mouths are still running. So in the end, you have to go, Daniel! Yeah, did you want me? Parents, you know what I'm saying, don't you? Did you used to find that trouble? Hey? You did, didn't you? Still do. There you go. You find that problem, Pauline? Yeah, see. It's in every family. It's a trait that we have, you see. Now, if we have that in the natural, what are we like in the realm of the spirit? When God whispers your name, I didn't say shout it. When he comes in that still small voice, and he whispers your name, are you listening? When God called Samuel, as he lay down as a young boy, 10, 11, 12, 13 year old, something of that nature, God called his name. And he jumped up straight away out of bed, and he ran to his master, Eli. And he said to him, you called me? And Eli looked at him. He was an old man, in his 80s. And he looked at him and said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. So he goes back to bed. He lays down, begins to go to sleep. And again, this voice says, Samuel. And he gets up. And he runs to his master, Eli, and says, you called me. And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Go to sleep. Samuel goes back. He lays down again. Begins to go to sleep. And again this voice says, Samuel. Now Eli had realized that this was the voice of God calling. The voice of God had not been heard in Israel for many years. And Eli had told Samuel, if you hear the voice again, say this, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Your servant is listening. The problem today, people are not listening to God. They're listening to the bright lights. They're listening to the loud noises. Their attention is taken away from God. And yet God is still speaking today. God will not stop speaking till all His plans and His purposes are fulfilled. And I thank God for that. And so today God is speaking to each and every one of us today. He's calling our name. Stephen. Is anybody here called Stephen? No? When we were up singing, the name Stephen kept coming to me. Well, you hold on to that and you hang on to that. And let God begin that work. God knows what He's doing. We may not know what He's doing at times, but God is calling. So God is calling your name. He's calling for you to step out. He's calling for you to rise up. He's calling for you to walk in faith. He's calling for you to begin to be a people that will move forward with signs, wonders, and miracles. I do not care how old you are, and neither does God. Because with this small boy, Samuel, he gave a prophecy at a very young age to the nation of Israel. Do you believe God can use you? Do you believe God wants to use you? Is the next thing. And then the next question is, are you willing to be used? Many people say, yes, I believe God is calling me. Many people say, yes, I believe God wants to use me. But very few people say, yes, I'll let God use me. What happens if God said to you, I'm going to just use you as a doormat in the church? You know, people are just going to come along, wipe their feet on you. You're just going to help them out. And then they're just going to walk away and leave you with all the rubbish. Oh, I don't want that sort of job, Lord. Do you? I'd like one of them glory jobs. You know, where everybody pats you on the back. Whoa, well done. That were great. You real did good. You know? Is that what you want? We've been learning this last few weeks about armor bearers. God's looking for people to be armor bearers, to lift up those weary arms, to strengthen those who are feeling attacked, to stand by them, to encourage them. God's looking for people to stand in the midst of the battle, side by side, and push back the enemy. God's wanting people to get their hands dirty. God's wanting people to press forward, to change their lifestyle, to change the people around them, and to change this nation. But before God can change the nation, He has to change you and me. He has to change you and me. You and I have to be willing to change. God is not going to change. That's a certainty. The Word of God says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. So if God's not going to change, who is? We are. If we are going to achieve anything, if we are going to be anything, and if we are going to fulfill the plans and purposes that God has for our lives, and the desires that God gives us in our lives, then we're going to have to change. Who's up for change? Some of you are still thinking about it, but most of you are putting your hand up. But let's be honest, we don't like change. Who likes change? Come on. Oh no, that is unsettling, isn't it? Come on. We like our routine, don't we? We like to get up at a certain time in the morning. We like to do the certain things that we do in the morning, and we have the breakfast that we have every, you know, and we do it step by step, and we don't like to have it changed, do we? That's the order we like things in. But God is a God of change. He's changing things for you. He's changing your order. Tell me something, sister. Did my nephew used to have, when he lived at home, did he used to have a cooked breakfast and that? Did he, you know? No? Did he used to have a cooked dinner? He did. Now he's moved away. He lives on fruit. Now, if he'd have lived at home and his mother had said to him, as from this week, son, we are going to live on fruit, what would you have said? I don't think so. He's away. He's, in quotes, looking after himself. He's eating healthily. He's eating fruit. He's lost weight. And then he comes home and eats like a camel and stuffs his hump. He was over last night at our house, and we ended up having a Chinese, and there we were, stuffing our humps, weren't we? Now when he goes back next week, guess what he's going to have? Fruit. There you go. I don't know the reason. Well, I could go into some ice on some reasons, but we'll not go down that way, shall we? We'll leave that alone. But you see, when we live in the same environment, we live in the same house, the same street, the same circumstances, we don't like change. Move out of your situation, move out of your circumstances, and suddenly change has to come. God is wanting to make you uncomfortable. Part of my job is at times to make you uncomfortable. Isn't that right? Yeah. Come along and prod you. Like the eagle stirs the nest. When the birds are getting ready to fly, she begins to pull the down and the feathers out and scatter them, and then she begins to pull the small sticks and the padding and leave them with all these sharp sticks, so that when they sit, it's very comfortable now, and they start flapping their wings a bit. And then in the end, she comes along, she kicks them out one at a time. Thankfully they're on a high cliff and they begin to fall. She watches them fall, and then she dives at high speed, and she flies underneath them, spreads her wings, and catches them on her back, and lifts them back and carries them back to the nest. Any volunteers? It's a form of bungee jumping, designed by nature but not using a piece of elastic. It's God's precision that he has put into nature. The first bungee jumpers were eagles. Any volunteers to bungee jump without the elastic. Not even with it. Oh boy. No. No volunteers. I mean, huh? I can't guarantee it. Well, there may be a river of life, but I'm not so sure about that, you know. But can you see what I'm saying? God wants to be able to... God's desire is to push you over the edge. Any volunteers to be pushed over the edge? See, your arms aren't working now. They've stopped working. Nobody's volunteering for a fiery furnace. Nobody's volunteering to be pushed over the edge. God is looking for people who are going to walk that distance. Yeah, you may have a Red Sea to walk through. You may have a Jordan to walk through. They walked through the Red Sea, but that had already been parted for them. They walked on dry ground. When it came to the Jericho in flood, they were told, well, walk. Oh, hang on a minute, God. The last time we did this, the sea had parted and the ground was dry. But there isn't a pathway through the Jericho yet. We'll wait for you. No. Do as he says. He said, I want you to step in. And beginning to walk. And as you begin to step into that river and you begin to walk, then God caused it to dry up. He doesn't do it the same way every time. He doesn't do it the way you want him to do it. He doesn't do it the way you like it to happen. Because we have all ideas. God, you can do this is how you can do it for me, God. And I'll know it's you. Ever done that? Yeah. Have you ever discovered him? He doesn't do it that way? You can't set terms down to God like that. Alright, I know people say, well, you remember Gideon? He took a fleece and he said, well, God, I'll lay that out, and if it's wet, if the fleece is wet in the morning and the grass is dry, I'll know it's you. So God did it. So Gideon looked at it and said, yep, wet and dry. I'll tell you what, God, we'll try this one again, just in case it's a fluke. We'll have it the other way around. The grass can be... I don't know which way we had it then. Which way did we have it? Who's listening? Wet? So we're having the fleece dry, are we? Right? Good. Fleece dry, grass wet. So off he goes to bed, wakes up in the morning. Guess what? Fleece is dry, grass is wet. Ooh. Must be God. But God takes him to bigger challenges. That was the beginning of his walk. The next step was even bigger. When he went on and finally defeated the Midianite army using a clay jar, some fire inside the clay jar. What else did he have? Trumpets. Not a sword between them. Not a sword between them. And they surrounded this great big army, 300 of them, and not a sword between them. Now you and me would have said, okay, we need machine guns, machetes, we need grenades, and we'd run a list, you know, a few rocket launchers, and then we'll take them on. Three 300 men dealing with thousands of men. And God told him, all you need to do is surround them. And then at the top of your voice, shout, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Break the vases with the fire inside to expose the light, and blow the trumpet and watch God move. And the camp went into total chaos, and they chased the enemy, and they took all the spoils, and not one man was lost. And do you know why God did it that way? He did it that way so that he could prove that this was God at work and not man. And if you want to see God moving in your life, God is going to want you to come to the point where you're prepared to risk it and let him do the signs, wonders and miracles, and that you won't get the glory, but he will get the glory. And God is about to do that. But God is looking for, I'm going to say this, and he's looking for choice people. When I say choice people, I don't mean he's looking for smart people, smart looking people, or special people. He's looking for people who are just prepared to say, yes Lord, yes Lord, yes Lord. That's what God's looking for. To have a people that are unquestioning, that know their God and know his voice. And the Spirit of God is saying today, are you willing to say yes Lord? Are you willing to take up the challenge and say, yes, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. Whatever price you want me to pay, I'll pay. So that I can break free from the power of the enemy. I can break free from tradition. I can break free from the bondage that hold me. You know, tradition is as big a bondage as it is of other sins. God wants you broken free from tradition. God wants you to flow in his anointing, in his Holy Spirit. So God is calling each and every one of us right now to step out and to break free. And as we started to worship this afternoon, God was wanting to break in. His presence was wanting to break in amongst us. And there was a sense of the moving of the presence of God. Some of you might say, well, I didn't sense it. No, because you're not listening. You're not listening to your name being called. Some of you are not yet ready to press out and walk forward. You're too easily distracted. God is looking for those who will stand and be counted. The problem today is we've made Christianity such an easy thing. Come to Jesus and get saved and be happy. Well, let me tell you this. The moment you come to Jesus, the moment you accept him and make him Lord of your life, you become a target of the devil. But that's okay. Because greater is he that is in me than he, the devil, that is in the world. So you can stand there and say, bring him on. Bring him on. Because God is greater in each and every one of us than the devil. And the power of God can set you free. The power of God can break the hold of any demon that would seek to hold your life and to destroy it. There is no way that a demon can hold on to the life of a believer who is committed to God. Because that word of God says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And there is a greater power at work in our lives than there is today in the world. The only problem is there are not many people who are seeking that anointing. There are not many people who are seeking the face of God. You know, if you want to beat the devil, you need to read this book. This Bible is a manual on how to live life on the earth. You know something? When you and I get to heaven, we won't need this. When we get to heaven, we won't need this, Edwin. Because the person that he's always speaking about, the person that he's always declaring about, is Jesus. Jesus said he was the Word. When we get to heaven, we'll see the Word. We'll see Jesus. We won't need books to be written about him. We shall see him, and he will see us, and we shall know him, and he will know us, and we shall rest and rejoice in his presence. And that's what it's about. And the devil cannot destroy the children of God. Oh, he's tried many times. But he can't destroy us. Oh, he's tried. But you've got to remember, if you're spending time in this precious book, reading about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the victories that he's done and brought forth, and the signs and the wonders and the miracles that are in this book, the way he dealt with sickness and disease, and he destroyed death, and he caused people to be raised from the dead. The word says, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? There is none. We have to realize that it's through the power of this word that sets the captives free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's what the Word of God says. Wonders and miracles will come to pass in your life. The devil has no power. The Word of God says that Jesus took the keys of death and hell. Jesus took the keys, took the authority off the devil. When Adam gave over to sin, he gave the keys of the world. He surrendered everything there was and he gave them to the devil. When Jesus died and rose again, he took everything back. The price was paid. He bought it all back and he took everything back from the beginning of creation and renewed it again. And sanctified it and made it holy and made it useful for the kingdom of God. And today he's done that for every one of us. You might say, well, you don't know my life. No, but God does. You don't know how the devil torments me. No, but God does. But the problem is you're not really in the Word. You start living in your own defeat. You stop believing in victories. You stop believing in the power of God because you've not seen the power of God working in people's lives. And that is a problem in the church today. Because many people, they're only giving lip service to God. They're giving lip service to his book. They're not giving heart service. And God looks at the heart. God does not listen to what you are mouthing off about. He's looking at what's happening in your heart. You've heard people say, oh yeah, I'll come and do this, I'll do this and I'll do that. When it comes to the crunch, when it comes to the time, they're not there, are they? They said they were going to come. They let you down. Jesus never lets us down. But you and I have got to move ourselves into that position. It's not about just moving our mouths, it's moving our hearts. Where is your heart? What is the desire of your heart? What is driving you? to God? What is the passion? Is there a flame burning within your heart? Maybe it's just a glimmer. The Word of God says that just that smoking flax. In other words, there's just a little bit of heat in it. There isn't a flame. But you can see a little bit of smoke coming up from it. And if you begin to waft on that flax, begin to blow on it, it suddenly starts to come bright, doesn't it? If you blow on it and breathe on it long enough, it will burst into flame. Do you know today God wants to blow on you? God wants to blow on you. And He wants you to cause you to burst into flame in the realm of the Spirit. He wants you to know His power, His resurrection life. You'll have your problems. He did not say it was going to be easy. But He said, I will give you the strength. And I will give you the victory. And I'll tell you this. There's more victories than there is failures. There are more victories than there are problems. Because if you start looking at them and saying, this is an opportunity for God to work. But sometimes God has to change me, has to change you, so that we can position us for victory in these days. And young people today, God has an anointing for you. Young people today, God has an anointing for you that will bring you to a place where you've never been before. God is looking for young people like He was looking for that 10-year-old boy, Samuel. And He called his name, and Samuel answered and said, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. And God is looking for young people today who say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. And then get ready to prophesy. Declare the word of the Lord to the nation, to the area of South Yorkshire. Expect signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of Jesus. And so today I challenge you. I challenge you from the youngest through to the oldest. Are you prepared to let God move in your life? Are you prepared to be challenged by the Holy Spirit? Are you prepared to step out, say yes, Lord, or stand up and say yes, God, I'm going to do this. No matter what the devil throws at me, no matter what the devil is trying to do to me, I know that you can bring me through into victory. And I know that your plan is to do that. You see, you can only do it as you walk each day in His presence. Step by step, you have to walk it out. It is not about just doing it when you feel like it. Just doing it on a Sunday. Being a Christian is 7 days a week. Not when you put your best clothes on. Not when you just have a shower. Wash your hair and spike it ready for church. It's not about that. It's about living it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Being on call. You know, sometimes I wake in the early hours of the morning. Not a lot to do with that in the early hours of the morning. But you know what I start to do? I start seeing every one of you in church. I see this building. I see every one of you sat in one of the chairs. And I go around and I start praying for you. Start praying for you, one at a time. I'll guarantee you this. If it's the devil that's waking me up to try and trouble me, it's not long before he lets me fall asleep. Because the last thing he wants me doing is waking up at 3-4 in the morning and start praying for the congregation. Because when I start to pray for you, God is going to answer the prayers. God is going to strengthen you and bless you. Even while you're asleep, God is going to do it. And the devil knows that, so he's going to let me go to sleep if it's the devil that's bothering me. But if it's God that's causing me to wake, then he wants me to pray for you. And thank God for that. So, I've got you, you know, I've got this picture. I work in pictures so often. So, I've got you pictured where you sit. Most of you sit in the same place all the time, so it's easy. Just go through. I see your faces. I don't see a name, I see a face. And that's precious. It's not about just seeing names. It's seeing individuals. And if I can see your face, guess what? So can God. Isn't that great? So can God. The moment I mention your name, God sees your face. Wow. Just think about that for a moment. The moment that your name is mentioned, God sees your face. He sees you. He doesn't see words. He sees you. That's got to be powerful. God sees you. God begins to move heaven when the saints pray, so that heaven will affect the earth and the heavenly beings begin to move on your behalf to work for you, to change your life, to change your situation, to change your circumstance. God sets heaven in motion for you. Praise God. I just thank God for that. So that I know when I pray, I stir up the devil, and heaven is stirred also. And ministering angels begin to work on your behalf. I don't have to do it. They do. They are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. You and I. Hallelujah. And we can praise God for that. Let's just bow our heads a moment. Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, there are desires in our hearts. There are dreams that we have, O God, that have yet still to come to pass. We bring our desires, we bring our dreams before you, O God, and we ask that you will begin to work on them, O God. You begin to work on us as individuals. Bring us to a place, Father, I pray, that we will position our lives, and that you will position our lives, Father, so that the dreams, the visions and the aspirations that we have, O God, will be fulfilled. Lord, give us holy and righteous dreams and aspirations and desires, O God. That, Lord, we will fulfill the things of the kingdom of God. And that, Lord, your name shall be magnified and glorified. And that, Father, we shall hear your voice telling us which way to go. And we will know the power of your presence working in us, O God. Lord, I pray for everyone here right now, Father. Lord, you will touch their hands, you will anoint their hands, you will anoint their lips, you will anoint their minds. Quicken their spirits, O God. We bind the enemy, O God, that would seek to stop them. We bind the enemy, O God, that would seek to hold them back. We break the power of the enemy over people's lives right now in Jesus' name. And we plead that precious blood that has set us free. And so right now, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the victory that there is in the cross. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that through the work of the cross, you defeated the enemy, Satan. You took his power. You took his authority. And you gave to us the victory. And you gave to us the power. And you gave to us the authority to rule and to reign on this earth. And so Lord, right now, Lord Jesus, we as your people claim that victory. We claim our rights. And we declare, Lord God, let it happen right now within our lives, that we will give you the praise and we will give you the glory for all that you've done for us and for all that you've given to us, O God, and for all that you are giving to us. And we just give you thanks right now that, Lord, we have a sure and certain hope, and that, Lord, there is victory for us all the way, and we shall walk in that path of victory. We shall walk in your truth, and we shall walk in your righteousness. And, Father, we shall know your presence with us every day. Hallelujah. And, Lord, though the enemy would seek to come against us, we, O God, shall cause him through your word to flee from us in every direction, and we will give you the praise and all the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wonderful Jesus. Just remain with your heads bowed for a moment, please. I just sense and I just feel in my spirit there are people here who just want to say what you've been saying today has been speaking to me. I don't want anybody looking round. I think God's spoken to you today. And you know that you've been struggling with things. And you want your life to be straightened out. And I want you to just raise your hand and say, God's speaking to me. God wants my life to be changed. Thank you. Is anybody else? Let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with what you've got now? Are you satisfied where you are now? Or do you desire more? Are you happy with your lot? Are you happy that the devil can even, the devil torments you? Or does it just sicken you and you just want to break free? The only way you're going to break free is when you say, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. I'm just going to ask you one more time. Are you going to say yes to the Lord Jesus? Yes, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you this, there'll be a challenge and there'll be a price to pay. But I'll tell you this, there will be a great harvest, there'll be great rewards, and there'll be great rejoicing. And you might laugh, but I'll tell you this, you'll not be laughing on the other side. You'll not be laughing on the other side. God's giving you an opportunity. And you're laughing at him. God's giving you a possibility. And you're tossing it back in his face. And you may never get another chance. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just bring our lives before you. We just ask you, Father, that your power will be seen. And that, Lord, you will break the power of the enemy over lives. And Father, I pray that through this week, Lord, you'll give us strength in the realm of the Spirit. And you give us victories, Father, that we've never seen before. And cause us, O God, to be victorious for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.